Well, hello everybody and welcome to episode 74 of We Podcast and We Know Things. My name is a very tired Greg Hall, and alongside of me, as almost always, the best damn voice in the business, Sam Matura.
How are you holding up, my friend? You're looking worse for wear.
Thanks. I'm wearing what I wore yesterday. This is a start, the exact outfit. Yep, it's a long day and a long night. I'm so tired, dude.
Oh, you want to go to a concert where they play almost 30 songs? You know, want to be a big deal.
Well, after four and a half hours in the car, after driving then an hour in rush hour traffic to the truck, after getting home around one, after working a little bit yesterday too, working in the morning, then doing the podcast. It's 8:03 in the morning, so then doing that. Then we got my nephews coming over tonight to watch them, and they're like, what, 8 and 5, 9 and 5? So it's like, it'll be a long one again.
You better have a cup of coffee.
I only drink decaf, so it's not going to do me any good.
Well, you might want to change it up.
Oh, God. It is going to be a long weekend because tomorrow we got the AFC and NFC championship games with our Philadelphia Eagles in it. So it's a long weekend invested.
It sucks that the Eagles are on at night. I'd rather have them on at 1 because that's the best freaking time to watch a football game.
I disagree. Two reasons. Number one, I want the night game because the colder temperatures during the winter, it favors the Eagles a little bit. It's going to be sunny and 50. Minnesota is a little cold. I would like it to be, since they're coming on the road, I want it to be outdoors.
Yeah, but I hear you. But when the game's over, win or lose, we're hype or we're sad. To get to bed after that is going to be tough when you have to wake up for work at 4:30. It's rough.
I also like it that it's the second game because now I don't have to watch. If it's the Eagles first and they lose, I have no interest in the other game. I watch the first game thinking, okay, here's the Eagles' opponent in the Super Bowl potentially. So it's a great day of drama. I'm really excited for tomorrow. I'm really excited for today too. I think we're going out for hibachi tonight.
Oh, sounds fun.
I love hibachi. I think I get more enjoyment out of them flipping the shrimp.
I was going to say, they throw shrimp in your mouth and give you sake from the damn squirt bottle.
We have a crazy jam-packed episode for you today. We are going to be talking a ton of stuff. We have our normal trivia section. We're going to start out with movies today. We're going to move to TV, then to gaming, then to music, then to a little bit of wrestling news, and finish it out with our picks of the week. We're going to have our top three in the gaming section today. We don't want to give it away now because it has to do with an announcement that was made over the week. So it's just a very, very jam-packed show.
And like always, news is always dropping, even up to the minute we hit record.
That's what we do. We check our sites right before we go on the air, just in case anything happened overnight. You never know, but we also put that out there on our social media pages. So if you want to catch up with all the latest nerdy news from We Podcast and We Know Things, it is at We Podcast and We Know Things on Instagram, at We Pod and We Know on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook. You just go to We Podcast and We Know Things. It'll come up our page on Facebook. Also, We Podcast and We Know Things.com. But I would urge you, the number one most important thing you could possibly do for us to help out the show is subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. Leave that rating, whether 1 star, 5 stars, doesn't matter to us. We appreciate it either way. And also to potentially leave a review. Any review that gets put out there in the ecosystem, we want to read on the air, so we have a new one. Get ready for this one because it's long. I'm sorry. It's McDevitt10. Thank you, McDevitt10, for shouting us out. 5 stars. We appreciate it. And here we go. Great listen.
That's it.
Great listen.
Awesome. I'll take it. Hey, whether it's negative or positive, we're going to rate it on the air.
Legitimately, we have no 4, 3, 2, or 1 star ratings on iTunes. Every rating and review we have on iTunes is 5 stars. It's a huge thank you to you guys out there, excuse me, who listen, subscribe, download every week, share us, do whatever you can to help the show grow. We really, really appreciate that. But anybody who writes us a review, whether it's 1 star, 3 stars, 5 stars, we're going to read it on the air because we got to take a licking
with the compliments. Yeah, we got to take it on the chin, brother.
Absolutely. We try our best to bring you the best damn content in the business.
We pod.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Anyway, so I just wanted to touch last week. I don't want to spend too long on it. But because we talked about it for the past couple weeks, but AGDQ, Awesome Games Done Quick, last week when we were recording, it was still going on, so it didn't hit its finale yet. Now it did. It hit its finale Saturday night around 3:34 o'clock a.m. on, well, technically Sunday morning. But it set a new record in donations with $2.2 million raised. It's $2,261,823.19 raised in donations for the Prevent Cancer Foundations. Congratulations on the new record, which beat out the old one by just a couple hundred thousand dollars.
That was going to be my next question. What was last year's that it beat? But I remember it being right around there.
2.2 something.
Okay.
It was something. Very, very, very...
Well, that's good.
Actually, just a couple thousand dollars, not even 100,000.
Well, it's good to see that they're still rising up. And again, I believe it's 100%. It still goes to a charitable organization. Mm-hmm.
So. And what I love about it is all the companies affiliated with it, like Fangamer and the Yeti and all these places to buy like the merch, they send a majority of their profits from that as well to the foundation, and then actually make the donations during the marathon.
Dude, the gaming community is real.
I got me a hoodie. Yeah. You can get an awesome Games Done Quick, like limited edition Zip-Up hoodie for $25. How am I going to pass that up?
Like, honestly, like between that, like that price, usually if you go on a website or like a band or something, usually they're like 40, 50 bucks. Yep. So that's a good price.
T-shirts are 12 bones.
You ain't gonna get better than that.
Like different hand drawn from the fans in the community, hand drawn Mario, Yoshi, Kirby, awesome games.
And I'm assuming a portion of that also gets donated.
All of it, yeah, all of it. But $4, I think. I think they keep four.
Well, they got to pay for at least the materials
or something. It's either they donate four or they keep four. I forget what it is. But the proceeds mostly go to the Prevent Cancer Foundation, which is really cool.
Awesome.
So thank you to everybody who was involved in that. Summer Games Done Quick was announced at the end of the marathon, as it always is. It is usually in July 4th week, like the 4th to the 11th, somewhere in there. But they're moving it up a little bit this year. It's going to be the last week of June 24th to July 1st in Minnesota. I'm happy about that because I don't have to take my July 4th holiday to try and watch Speedrun Marathon. I could watch it before, take that week off, and be all good to go. So
yeah, and it's obvious it's a little far for us to make that journey down there.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to be going to Summer Games Done Quick. SGDQ is always in Minnesota. I'll wait for AGDQ 2019, get back on a hype train in Herndon, Virginia.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that next year, you know, you can kind of figure out somewhere to go down there, and also for you to get back to doing speedrun again, because I know you've been hurting for a squirting, and you know
I miss do. I mean, I do it on the side still, but I do miss it. Doing it on stream. I love being on camera. I love being in front of people.
Oh, Jesus.
That's my dude, it's my platform. Yeah, dog. Yeah. People are afraid of public speaking, not me. I love it. I love any opportunity to talk to the masses.
And it's different. It's, you know, you're on the camera, it's just you. Like sometimes you feel like you're talking to yourself for a little bit and someone chats in, but like I feel like if you're actually in Herndon, Virginia, when all the people are watching, I think it might be different. Like, the nerves might, you know, at least they'd get to me.
160,000 people watching with 3,000 people in a room, and you're doing speedrunning, which usually you can't make a mistake during, so I have to play DM perfectly. I'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay, great. Good luck.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I would love that. Oh, my God. Because I would wear a We Podcast We Know Things t-shirt.
As you should.
On my run, during my run.
Bring the mug, so you just blatantly sip it.
During this cutscene, I'm going to sip my imaginary coffee because I don't drink it.
Actually, yeah, you have decaf.
I do. I drink coffee every day, but it has to be decaf. I gave up caffeine cold turkey.
Well, good for you.
So last night, I almost broke the habit. I went to Wendy's, and I got a big-ass fountain soda because I was craving like that crisp, wonderful taste. And I was going to get Dr. Pepper.
So you didn't get McDonald's, you went to Wendy's?
I went to Wendy's.
Basically, he comes to me like, oh, I just stopped at Wendy's after the show.
No, I didn't stop at McDonald's.
Oh, that's...
But I went. Because like, you know
Wendy's
what?
Wendy's is any better.
How funny is this? All day. Didn't eat all day. Because it's such a long day. We'll get into it throughout the show. But didn't eat anything. Had the opportunity to eat around 11:50. I got to like back in my area. So I put in my GPS to get home a different way. I wanted to get home on 95. I just want to get to 95. And I clicked the 95 route because your GPS gives you different options. And I'm pissed because I hit it and I'm following it. And I'm like, Vine Street, 676. 76. It's taking me on 76. I'm so pissed. So it didn't even take me. It like said, F you, the route you want to take. I'm going to take you
good
the way that's
you,
shortest.
GPS.
Yeah, they wanted to steer me away from McDonald's. So I said, to spite you, I'm going to Wendy's. So shout out to Wendy's for having crispy chicken sandwiches and that sawsome sauce. Oh, my.
Hey, you can't go wrong.
It's so good. But I got a Sprite because it didn't have caffeine because I'm a loser.
Yeah, Sprite's delicious.
Yeah, but I want a Dr. Pepper. Clean, crisp, I mean, Dr. Pepper taste.
Even though I do love them commercials. What's the little guy thing?
The little guy thing? The little guy thing.
Because Preston and Steve always, what's his name? The dude from American Idol. Justin Guarini. Little Sweet.
Okay, Little Sweet.
The commercials are pretty funny, but yeah.
Is it the sweet one?
Yeah.
Oh, that one? Yeah, okay. I know that one.
His voice just gets so high.
Yeah. I tried my best. I don't know. But yeah, I got Wendy's super late. Drank a cold, crisp Sprite. The diet slice. I think that's Talladega Nights. Anyway, the reason I had such a long day is we had the opportunity to interview Dom Maggi yesterday from Vent. It was fantastic. Super cool interview. I mean, we were in the car for about three times the amount of times we were at the place.
Almost 2 hours it took,
each way.
But it was totally worth it. You know, we walked in, we get to his house, and, we're walking up, and we just hear, just music blasts. Like, what is...
Well, we got the right house.
Yeah, and you were like two doors, like the door to the house, and, like the door right next to it, looked like a music studio. You're like, we might as well knock where the music's coming from.
Yeah, I was like playing, what's that? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo on the door, and we just picked one with the music, and he opened it. I don't think he was expecting us because he looked at me like, who are you?
I forgot.
Dom, it's Greg. Here's my microphone, my computer. Oh, cool. So it's awesome that we had that opportunity. Went into his recording studio and did an interview with him there. So super cool opportunity. It's about an hour and 15 minutes long, maybe a little under that. A lot of fun. Talked about a lot of cool stuff. His opportunity to work with Ace Enders of the Early November, Nick Bruzzese of Man Overboard in the Lumberyard. Started off as an intern, now as an assistant. Has his own little space in the studio carved out. Had no idea Nick had his own space and Ace had his own space, and they could do two projects at once. That's really cool. Like the things that you get to learn about that. And we talked a lot about the music that we listened to growing up. And in reality, I mean, Dom's obviously a part of a music project himself, so we had that opportunity to talk about that. It was a lot of fun. Really cool dude.
Yeah,
just a super really nice, super nice down guy. To earth, really nice guy. We're gonna be back with him in 2 weeks.
Had
a really cool dog. Be back with him in 2 weeks when we go to the Lumberyard to interview Ace Enders and Nick Bruzzese and Dom, the Butter King. Yeah,
that's gonna be an experience.
Wheat rolls only.
And we also found out that our hometown Parkwood has a band.
Yeah, well, is a band.
Is a band.
Yeah, Parkwood. The name of our hometown growing up was Parkwood, and there is a band called Parkwood, which Dom let us listen to, which was really cool. Yeah. We had no idea. Yeah, their lyrics were written on the wall. It said Parkwood. Cool.
Yeah, like I like that idea that he had that, like, bands that came in that recorded his studio, like, their favorite lyric. He'd, like, have him, like, write the lyric and sign the band underneath, like, on the wall. So that, I thought that was, like, a really cool idea.
Without giving spoilers to the interview, because we obviously want you to listen to it, but towards the end, in, like, the last 7 to 8 minutes, we're just talking, and he just gets up. And I'm like, I gotta keep going, because he's not paying attention, because he sat out of the corner of his eye, he saw a poster, and it turned out to be the Hidden in Plain View 10-year anniversary poster that we were talking about with Joe Rio on the episode. So just a cool full circle moment there. But again, it'll drop Monday the 22nd, so by the time you're hearing this, it may be out already, but it's 2 days from the day we're recording, because today is the 20th. So it'll be out on Monday, probably around 10 a.m., so look forward to that. I'm super freaking excited about it. But there's another thing I wanted to talk about as well that I'm super excited about. I think this is under the radar news. Twitch.tv is starting a platform that is pre-recorded videos, aka their version of YouTube, which is really
cool. That's awesome.
It's not just live streaming anymore. It's going to be a video on demand service for pre-done videos.
Well, nowadays everyone has a Twitch channel. Everyone's either on Instagram, like plugging Twitch or checking my videos. It's a great idea.
Do you know why that is?
Just to have more content?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely to get new content, but this is the reality of the YouTube world right now. There was a couple months ago something called the Adpocalypse, where a lot of inappropriate videos were being uploaded to YouTube, terrorist, hate, crime, whatever. Mm-hmm. And on top of obviously the great, fantastic content that usually does get uploaded to that site. But advertisers were putting ads, let's just say McDonald's was putting ads on a terrorism video. Because you just can't tell that. Yeah. The algorithm wasn't there. So when advertisers were advertising or advocating, it seemed like those types of videos, they were pulling their ads, which kills YouTube, which also kills the people that were doing it the right way and hurting their revenue. Yeah. So Adpocalypse has been going on for a couple months. So YouTube's been scrambling. Now, on top of that, you probably heard about that Logan Paul situation. So Logan Paul then happens, who is one of YouTube's biggest channels, and seemingly almost nothing really happened to that guy in terms of fallout. Yeah, they pulled his movie deal. Great. He's still got a channel of 6-8 million subs, whatever it is.
I think he's got like over 16. And I know, like, I saw, like, because TMZ always is picking up on every damn thing. And his dad posted a video, like, Logan will be back with videos. So he's just taking some time off.
Right. And his stupid, awful apology where he ended it with hashtag Logang. Like, it's very, very a bad look for YouTube. So what YouTube is trying to do in an effort to, I guess, not save money necessarily, but allocate it smartly, they've now decided to demonetize channels. You cannot start earning money on YouTube unless you have more than 1,000 subscribers and more than, it's either 4,000, 40,000, or 400,000 hours of videos watched on your channel over the past 12 months.
To get money? Okay.
So to get money.
That's a nice start, I think.
No, it fucking kills small channels.
Well, yeah.
For us, yeah. Right? We have 16 subscribers on YouTube. Yeah. Now, granted, we don't use our YouTube channel actively. It's not like we ever really upload content to it, but we have one. But let's say I wanted to take all of our bonus episodes, right, and get them on there. You know, the interviews with Serge and Tommy and Danny. Well, I can put them on there and helps get us exposure, but there's no way to monetize off of that until we get 1,000 subscribers and 4,000. So that
it just may take a couple years.
Now, do I have a huge problem with it? I really don't.
Because,
I
mean, because we don't really actively use YouTube for income.
Right, and I don't even mean just us. I mean in the world, if you are an up-and-comer, I think that starting to get monetization right away with no subscriber base, no real history, you don't know if YouTube doesn't know if they're going to be a viable platform, you know, content creator, or if they're just going to make one big video and go away, whatever the case may be, they want to make sure it's a viable space. Yeah. So I actually don't really mind that so much. It is nice to just get a couple bucks here and there and say, oh, okay, there is a future. I have an opportunity to earn. But I also like that you have to earn your opportunity to earn. Granted, YouTube is such a big space, it's difficult to kind of get in there. Well,
there's a gazillion videos to watch.
So now Twitch is entering that space. And anybody with a Twitch channel, which is where a lot of these YouTubers have gone, like you said, everyone's got a Twitch channel. Now to have a YouTube version of Twitch where you can monetize on those videos on top of promoting your own stream, on top of making money through your own stream, that's a freaking genius idea for Twitch. So good on Twitch.
Like the only people, like I know you got a Twitch, Pinoa has a Twitch, Machi has a Twitch. So just a few of our friends just right off the bat that I know that just, you know, don't necessarily go and use it for money, but just kind of go for exposure and just the community.
Right. And you know, I've made $28 in my Twitch career, maybe 27.
It's a full tank of gas.
It is not. You were in my car yesterday. You well, know it was not a full tank of gas.
Considering we almost ran out of gas, but
we did almost run out of gas yesterday on the way home from Dom's. But super, super good idea for Twitch. And kudos to them who are probably going to loosen the restraints and the guidelines and almost say, hey, you have a small channel that got demonetized
come
from YouTube.
Here.
Come over here. And you know, I think it's a win-win for the community. I don't believe in a monopoly.
Yeah.
You know, even though I work where I work and it's a larger organization, we have competitors in the space.
Of course.
There's competitors in this space. I mean, YouTube had like Dailymotion, Vimeo and all that, but now they have Twitch.
Yeah.
The king of streaming is now going to be a video on demand service.
Twitch seems like the perfect startup to kind of start your channel, and maybe if you blow up, get huge, maybe you transfer to YouTube and or kind of do both or just stick with
Twitch. I would imagine a lot of folks are going to do both.
Yeah.
I would imagine this is a good opportunity for folks to do both, because once you hit that 1,000 subscribers and X amount of hours watched in a year, you can start to monetize, so there is a win-win.
Well, it's kind of like now you see like a lot of like celebrities, actors, stuff like that, where it's like, okay, they do Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. Okay, now they're doing Instagram Live. Mm-hmm. Okay, now they're doing on Twitter. So it's like they're dabbling a little bit of everything because they know that they have millions of fans in each separate, you know, category. So they're trying to just like hit them all a little bit. So it's smart.
Yeah, you have Periscope, you have Instagram Story, you have Facebook Stories.
You have Instagram Live.
You have Instagram Live, Facebook Live, all that.
Yeah.
So it is a good opportunity to get yourself out there just from that standpoint as well. So, I mean, this internet that we live in, this world that we live in, this online world is vast.
Yeah.
It's huge.
To say the least.
So to carve out a small corner of that internet all to yourself, I feel is an accomplishment enough in itself.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we have X amount of listeners per week and X amount of total downloads is astounding to me that we can do something like that and bring content to this many people. But in reality, that's a
very
iota of the internet, which is still cool, but it shows that there's promise out there.
But we have our own little car.
We got our
section.
Slice.
That's it.
We got our slice of the internet that we're turning into a sandwich, baby. I guess that didn't work so well.
Ooh, what was the one? It was like a Lorenzo's Pizza because it's a giant, huge, giant piece of pizza, and they put like I forget what company, but they put the cheesesteak right in the middle, and then fold the pizza on the cheesesteak. I was like, oh my god, I need it.
There was a place, and when we lived in our apartment in Bensalem, there was a place called High Tides Bar right behind us. We went outdoors. They had a cheesesteak with mozzarella sticks in the cheesesteak.
Yeah, I saw a lot of places like that. They throw fries in there, onion rings, stuff like that. Yeah, just a heart attack waiting to happen.
Yeah. Delicious, delicious heart attack. Let's get into the trivia, Sam. It is 4-2.5. You are in the lead. If you don't know and you're new to the show, we have a trivia section where if you get the question right straight away, it is one full point in our race to 11, win by two. If I have to get multiple choice or Sam needs multiple choice, it is one half of a point. Sam's winning. Sam, you have a chance to get your lead even farther.
All right. You lead us off, brother.
Sam, I'm hoping you know this answer based off of Mr. Anthony Pinto.
Let's hope.
In the Overwatch League.
Oh, I'm done.
Shout out to Anthony. Philadelphia has a team in this new Overwatch League where it's 8-10 teams, I think, Atlantic and Pacific Division, Boston, San Francisco. What is the Philadelphia team name for the Overwatch League?
I have to hear it.
He told you, though.
I know he mentioned it, so I'm hoping to hear it and I'll get it. All right, off the top of my head, I don't know.
Are you ready?
Let's go.
The Philadelphia Fusion, the Philadelphia Fight, the Philadelphia Fire, or the Philadelphia Flash?
Fusion.
Correct.
I just had to hear it because I know, because Pinto is always playing stuff like that, but I just couldn't think of the.
I know. I figured it was a question that you might not. I figured you might need the half, but hey,
listen. I'll take it. Exactly. 4.5 for me.
4.5 for Sam. I'm down 2 full points.
Okay.
This is my chance to cut the lead in half.
Give you a gaming question.
Oh, okay.
Since the topic, we kind of mentioned it later on, but what year did the first Tomb Raider game come out?
Jesus.
There's a gazillion.
Hold on. 1996.
You got
final
it.
Answer.
Got
did
it.
I, did I?
Yeah. That yeah. Literally, because our thing is, it's a 96. As soon as I saw the date, I have to ask this question.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, what was the first systems that it came out
PS1.
On?
PS1.
And?
Xbox.
Sega.
The Saturn?
Yeah. So I was going to ask that, but I changed. I was like, two systems. I was like, I just saw 96. I was like, it's 96.
I know it was a launch title or close to a launch title, and PS1 came out in 96, so it's actually not that hard.
I was kind of hoping you were going to answer a question. Like, it's 96. So, yeah.
Hey, cool, man.
4.5
to 3.5. Let me actually update that. I now try to update live because I don't remember by the time I do the next week's rundown.
I think this is the first week where both of us got the answer right.
Yeah, absolutely. But I gained a half a point.
Hey, take
gained
it.
Gained a half They'll a point in standing. Sam, let's start with the movie section and with the comic book films realm. The Justice League is coming to Blu-ray and DVD on March 13th, and we'll have those added scenes we've been talking about.
So I know we mentioned, I think it was last week, where there was an extra 10 or 15 minutes on the Blu-ray release.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, they teased in the little preview for it that like a scene with Superman that we never seen before. Hopefully, we'll get to see maybe Superman in the black suit. I know a lot of people are hyped about that. I was kind of hoping to see Superman in the black suit, but this is a day one buy for me.
I was driving like a responsible adult, so I didn't get to see that scene. You were watching it next to me in the car, and I wanted to veer off, but there was trucks, so I didn't
take a chance.
I didn't pay attention to that, but I should have. Oh, look at that. Mick Foley in 2012 in the Royal Rumble. Our customary pay-per-view that we watch when we do the show is the 2012 Royal Rumble right now, because the 2018 Royal Rumble is next week. So be prepared for a preview next week's episode.
It's so funny watching him run out. Just when he's like slid into the ring, he basically barely got up. I was Mick.
Yeah, he is.
I hope this was his last one, because there's not much more he could have done.
Well, I think
he's going over.
Oh, no, he eliminates him. Oh, that was a good one. And now he's out. Oh, no.
Not yet. Come
on. Cool. Good for Mick. but I'm going next week to the Royal Rumble and to NXT TakeOver the night before. So be prepared for some previews of those events next week with the first ever Women's Royal Rumble match. Super hyped on
long time coming.
Ronda Rousey's going to be there. But that's okay.
I'm sure.
It hasn't been announced.
Yeah, I saw pictures of her and Triple H.
So it's happening. Anyway, so Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay, came out with a trailer and a release date. And I think you said to me it's my dad's birthday. It's April 10th, right?
Day before mine.
So it is my dad's birthday. The day before Sam's birthday, I know what to get him. Nothing.
Because I'll probably have it pre-ordered to be delivered by Amazon. But hey, this is another one, day one buy for me.
So if you don't know, it's an animated film. Yeah. If you guys aren't aware, it's not the sequel to the theatrical trailer, the theatrical movie. This is this is cool because it's that buffer in between the films, and DC does animation well.
And DC, obviously, I think they that's where they blow Marvel out of the water is the animation.
Agreed.
And DC, they release anywhere like 2 to 4animated films a year. You have like Christian Slater's Deadshot.
We went through the whole cast last week.
Last week, the original Harley Quinn. I'm drawing a brain fart right now for her name, but Tara Strong.
There you go.
Took me a while.
This kid is an encyclopedia.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch
this. I can picture your Rolodex in your brain just going, just swirling around. So I don't know anything about this. For the viewers that don't know anything what is Suicide Squad?
I didn't necessarily read the synopsis. So
did you watch the trailer?
I kind of did catch the trailer. Amanda Waller probably needs them to do some legal shit, kill somebody, take out someone, move someone over here. And of course, why not send Suicide Squad?
I thought I saw in like a preview that you sent me when we do the rundowns of the stories, you sent me like the Suicide Squad Hell to Pay sends its worst. I don't know who they were referring to.
I know Liam McIntyre, he's playing Captain Boomerang, who is Spartacus.
Yeah. Let me go back to the story you had sent me about it originally, because it like gave a hint, excuse me, that here it is. Nope.
What characters are in it or what they were?
There was like a tease of a character that we weren't expecting. Here it is. Suicide Squad Hell to Pay animated trailer calls in the worst. This might just be a catchy headline. Let's see. Yeah, Task Force X take on Vandal Savage. History's Bloody Tyrant.
Yeah, so he's the big baddie they're going after. They got to stop Vandal Savage.
Waller enlists Task Force X in an off-the-grid mission to find the Immortal Savage. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay, so it was just a catchy headline. Yeah. There was nothing teasy about it, but that's cool.
But Vandal Savage is basically an immortal, so who else can you send about the Suicide Squad?
Well, the Suicide Squad 2 film has been rumored to be Ben Affleck's final appearance as the Batman. I think in bigger news, we are just still waiting to find out who's going to be the new Batman, because that is one of the most iconic roles in Hollywood or in pop culture.
Because Matt Reeves has been very quiet.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's, bunkered down somewhere, finishing the script out, but it's just, are we going to see him in Suicide Squad? Is Flashpoint going to be his last? Like, there's just so many different stories coming out. You don't know which one to believe or not.
Yeah, and I think with Flashpoint, there was rumors circulating that they had asked Ben Affleck to be the director. That apparently, obviously, fell through, as we'll find out in literally one story. But, I mean, if Ben Affleck has, like, a 30-second to a minute cameo like he did in the first one, and then he just goes away, that kind of, it definitely hurts small.
Yeah.
Small.
Yeah.
It hurts the branding that much more. I don't know.
I mean, it depends when the Suicide Squad 2 is actually going to come out, because Flashpoint's next year.
Right.
So I imagine Suicide Squad 2 will be also next year, but what's coming first? So if it's Flashpoint, I really think Flashpoint's going to be Ben's last time, and then maybe you somehow introduce the new Batman at the end, that like the kind of end credits scene, like, oh well, Bruce, welcome back, and he kind of turns around and it's John Hamm or something. It's just something. I don't know.
That would be weird. That'd be very weird. I don't know. Like, we've heard John Hamm, we've said it a million times. We've heard John Hamm, we've heard Jake Gyllenhaal, we've heard, who am I missing out on? There's one more we've heard.
That was the two that jump out to me.
I can't remember. There's a third one. It wasn't as big. I can't remember right now. But if this is Ben Affleck's, which it's, I mean, hell, it sounds like it is, going to be Ben Affleck's like swan song as Batman, when you look back at his total catalog of being Batman, you have BVS, you have Justice League, you have Suicide Squad, potentially Suicide Squad 2, and maybe Flashpoint. I don't think there were any other appearances of him as Batman. That's kind of... It's kind of unimpressive.
Yeah. I guess the way he's looking at it, he's getting older, and I'm sure
shouldn't have taken the role in the first place.
He maybe thought it was, again, going to get maybe more positive reviews on BVS.
Doesn't he play an older version of Batman?
He does. But then again, I remember interviews with Christian Bale saying, when you're in the suit, you're in there for a long period of time. You can't really go to the bathroom. It's kind of a pain in the ass. You're constantly just sweating in the suit. Wants to do other projects now. Kind of more things coming down the pipeline, and
probably doesn't. He's not seeing a return on investment would most likely be.
Well,
my
I'm sure he's getting
assumption.
Paid very well.
I mean, critically, yeah. He's not doing anything to build his.
Yeah,
his
but,
actor catalog.
But
profile.
Even though BVS wasn't reviewed very well,
it did great.
But did box great. Office, it made money. But they were expecting more. But Ben Affleck's portrayal of Batman was well received.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's definitely a tough place to be.
Sure. I mean, it's better than Dogma. Not Dogma. Geely.
Oh,
it's better than Geely. I mean,
yeah.
Anything is
that's
better
to say the least.
Than if everybody in this Royal Rumble had a rom-com, it would be better than Geely.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
John Francis Daley and Jonathan Goldstein, that's not going to be confusing, John and John, will be directing the Flashpoint.
Vacation.
They did Vacation.
They wrote Spider-Man Homecoming.
Right, and they directed the Vacation reboot from a couple years ago with Ed Helms.
So, I mean, there's definitely promise there, because obviously everyone loved Spider-Man Homecoming. You know, I might not have loved
didn't
it.
Didn't do so great.
I might not have loved it as everybody else, but then again, that was the, what, third... Fourth,
third
fifth, sixth, seventh film of Spider-Man. Like, there's so many Spider-Man films. Maybe the hype just wasn't there, but, I mean, there's hope for Flashpoint.
Rob Cephas? 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 I don't know. I'm going to go with Cephas. Has been cast in Shazam.
Oh, that he was in Luke Cage,
yes.
Older gentleman, and he's rumored to be playing the Wizard.
The Wizard. That's it. I was going to say a scientist.
I think that could be a good casting, because I really liked his role in Luke Cage, actually.
I just didn't get
that. I mean, I know he was in a few other things. I just can't think of the movies he was in, but I like him as an actor.
Again, Sam, my favorite quote, if only we had smartphones. I'm already on it. Rob Sepp.
But he was definitely in a lot of stuff. Once you see him, you're going to know who he is.
Oh, I know who it is. Yeah. Wait, why isn't it in here?
What?
Is his name Rob? Am I getting that right?
It says Rob, unless you wrote the wrong name down.
Let me just try his last name. Ron.
Oh, a little typo.
Autocorrect, baby. Ron Cephas or Cephas. Yeah, he's in This Is Us, so that's where the ladies will know him. The Get Down, very popular show. Luke Cage is Bobby Fish.
Yep.
Bobby Fish is the name of a wrestler. He's an NXT Tag Team Champion. That is hilarious. He was in Mr. Robot for 9 episodes. He was in Banshee, which I hear is a really good show. Of Mice and Men.
He was in a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, The Blacklist. So really, really good resume. So that's cool. It's good to see that. Showcase Cinemas, which we don't have around here, will screen The Dark Knight on February 8th and February 11th for the film's 10-year anniversary. You know what else recently did that? What, for their 15th? And because of the disaster artist? The Room. Uh-huh. And guess what? It sold out the Chamonix twice.
That's,
suck it, Sam.
That's good.
Look me in my eyes right now. Suck it.
Okay, Sam. Thank you. I mean, I think this is great for the Dark Knight. It was easily, to me, the best Batman film ever made. Why not? I mean, it sucks that we don't have any Showcase Cinemas around us.
Nah, it does it, though. I don't know what the hell they are.
Either way. But again, I have the movie on Blu-ray, but it would be cool to see it on the big
screen.
They
could be like hay bales and like unpasteurized milk for a dollar.
It could be if it was a drive-in movie, I would love to do a drive-in. That would be awesome.
We have a drive-in semi-close to us. It's about 45 minutes away.
It's not too bad.
But from here, so maybe about almost an hour.
Too far for me.
Yeah, maybe about an hour for you. Gotham by Gaslight is out, or is at least it's coming out very soon.
Yeah, it's not out yet.
Yeah. Do you have it pre-ordered yet?
No, I do not, but it is in my cart. Or save for later.
In Batman, Gotham by Gaslight, the world is well-constructed, and there are some standout performances, but the story at its core is not as strong as it ought to be. Batman, Gotham by Gaslight builds an excellent world, but does not follow up with a strong story. 6.5 out of 10, okay. I do love, per IGN, but I do love that animation style, because I love period pieces. I love old
I'm more
England.
Hyped. For the Ninja Batman,
yeah,
more than the Gaslight, but I'm of course going to buy.
I wonder
both,
when that's going to get dubbed, because that's
soon. I think that's coming this year.
Yeah,
I think we're getting it this
in
year.
In English.
Yeah, so I can't wait. That's both. They won't buy for me.
James Gunn has said on Twitter that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 will release in 2020.
So that's pretty cool. We're getting a boatload of movies, and I listened to Michael Rosenbaum's podcast. He was Lex Luthor on Smallville, and he basically was talking, I forget who his guest was. Oh, he had Michael Rooker on, and he was talking Yondu and stuff like that. He's like, I asked James Gunn, like, what am I going to be in? He goes, it looks like me and Stallone will be back in the third one. So that's kind of cool, because he was the CGI, like, diamond character.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
Well, Guardians 2 is our film of the year for both of us, pretty unanimously, so we're pretty excited about that.
I'm glad to see it's James Gunn. He's coming back. He's doing his trilogy, and
I'm just hyped to see... Spoilers, 3, 2, 1. I'm just hyped to know that Michael Rooker's going to come back. He has to. He's not dead. I'm telling you.
Anything's possible, but the way that they ended that second one, it
would piss a lot of people off, I think.
Yeah, it would take away that moment.
Yeah.
So I think he's...
I thought that moment was lame.
I think... See, I liked it. I
it was long. It was very long. That's all.
See, once I saw Sloan, I was like... Oh, God.
Peter Parker, but not Spider-Man. Oh, my God. That's Jinder Mahal. Who is... Wow. That's 6 years ago. That's crazy. I think that's Titus O'Neil's Ezekiel. Anyway, Peter Parker, not Spider-Man, will be making a cameo in the Venom film, reportedly.
Is
it going to be Tom Holland?
Yeah, it's going to be Tom Holland. But I hope we somehow see Spider-Man. How do you have a Venom and you have Carnage and you don't have Spider-Man?
Is Carnage 100% confirmed though?
I would say 99.999999. I'm pretty sure he's coming in. Just I don't know. I mean, Peter Parker would be cool to see, of course, but give me a little Spider-Man action. Give me a little something. Don't make me wait for another year to see Venom and Carnage or Spider-Man in a film together again. Even though Spider-Man 3 was on the other day, and God, Topher Grace is terrible as Venom. God forbid. God forbid.
His like little fangs that he tries to have.
Oh my God, God forbid.
I am 100% down if Spider-Man or Peter Parker doesn't make a cameo, because Tom Hardy can carry a film. I'm really excited just to see Venom on the screen done well or right.
Oh, I'm sure we're going to see some screenshots or some videos soon, because I'm pretty sure they're more than halfway done filming.
Yeah, I almost hope not. Like, it sucks.
It's coming out next year.
I know. I just want to wait till I just want to try to avoid all of it until it comes out.
I see a picture, I send it to immediately.
Bill Skarsgård kind of ruined Pennywise because they released it so early and I knew what he looked like. What's his name as Deadshot? Not Deadshot. Deathstroke. Joe Manganiello.
Oh, I said that.
That screenshot got released early. What's his face is Cable.
But you had it ruined before you saw the movie. You waited a little Josh bit Brolin. To see Justice League.
Right.
So you saw. I didn't know that he was. I saw
the screenshot of what he looked like. Because wasn't he in?
Well, that was what
he
was Ben. In something well, else that right? was no. That Ben Affleck released that video on Facebook.
Right.
So,
but then we saw Josh Brolin as Cable, like very early.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's cool. Don't get me wrong. They all looked badass.
Don't worry. You're going to get another Deadpool trailer, and you're going to see. I'm sure you're going to see Cable a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's May 18th.
I mean, besides seeing just his hand.
Jack Schaefer has been reportedly hired to write the Black Widow solo film. I don't know what he or she wrote before.
Yeah, I don't know.
I forget. It was in the article. I can't remember.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just good to see that they're moving forward to Black Widow. Scarlett Johansson, she deserves to have her own. You know, like, because people always wonder, like, what's our backstory? Like, is it going to be a backstory? Is it going to be something after Avengers 3 or 4? So
I would almost like it to be life afterwards. No,
oh, after?
I would like to see that. Now, there won't be as much action.
And that's assuming she makes it.
Right. And you're definitely sacrificing action there, because post that movie, I would like a little spy, a little stealth, a little sleuthy.
I'm sure you'll get that, but I don't think that's going to hinder the action, because she's... You know, like all action, like martial arts, rather.
Yeah.
You might not see as much special effects as an Iron Man or a Thor movie, right. But I think it'll
There's
be perfect
no suit
for Black
involved,
Widow. Exactly.
You know what this
Iron leather. That's
I
it.
Could, you know what I know, right? You know what I can see this equating to? Not necessarily one for one, but like a little bit is almost like a Bourne movie.
Yeah, oh, definitely. 100%.
Like a female Bourne movie.
100%.
I can almost see that. That'd be pretty neat. I can actually get down with that now that I'm thinking about it.
I mean, regardless of whether it's a comedy or whatever they decide to release, I'm going to see the movie.
I stayed away from this next one to stay away from any type of spoiler whatsoever. I don't think there were spoilers in it.
Yeah, I didn't read it.
But I did not read it either. But in case you all want to, there is a synopsis, an official plot synopsis released for the Solo, a Star Wars saga film.
Did you read it, John?
I know, that's right. The first, he did because he tweeted it out.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And he probably put it on Facebook, too. Shout out to MRC Tech LLC for all your iPhone fixing needs.
I didn't watch the next one yet. I waited.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. The next thing on the list is Godzilla Planet of the Monsters, which is an animated Netflix movie.
Available now.
It is available to stream now. Here is the review of said movie. Before we even read it, I did not watch it, just to put that out there. I love Godzilla. It is probably going to get watched the second you leave. this morning.
And then he falls asleep 10 minutes into it.
At least 10 minutes. I might make it 15. I might go back to my pick of the week and continue to watch that, though. Planet of Monsters' biggest selling point is its fresh take on the creature Godzilla. While the film employs cell shading, I like that, and game-like elements, I like that, the standard formula of Godzilla gets flipped on its head with humanity on the offense, I like that. The question of whether it was worth giving up the joy of, and terror of watching the destruction of well-known cities, along with losing social commentary to gain these new liberties, will have to be answered by future movies in this trilogy. Didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
Like that, too. The biggest selling point of Netflix's Planet of the Monsters is its fresh take on the creature Godzilla 7.0 out of 10. Okay, so that's a different Godzilla film.
Yeah, that really
Godzilla's
is.
Godzilla's on defense. I like that. I can picture him chop-blocking missiles.
Yeah.
or her, I guess. Cool.
I mean, regardless of what they rated, I'm still going to say I have to. It's Godzilla. Come on.
I'm absolutely down. Did you watch the new Tomb Raider trailer?
I watched. I don't know.
I didn't watch a second of it.
I watched the first.
Although she looks fantastic.
Oh, Vikander? Yeah, she's I mean, I like how they're basing off like the game. That's kind of like it's starting her origin again.
They're
stuff
rebooting
like that. Yeah.
Based off of the reboot of the game, which was wildly successful, and its sequel, and the third one upcoming. They're making the third Tomb Raider, so definitely this is the Tomb Raider.
I always
not
like
that sexy. This isn't like a sex icon anymore.
I'm sure Angelina Jolie.
No, did you play the reboots?
No,
they took all the sexualization out of the character and made it about survival and this teenage girl surviving and learning how to survive. Like freaking Bear Grylls out there kicking ass.
Now, granted,
the actress who's playing her in this reboot is absolutely stunning. Yeah. However, they're not sexualizing her, which is cool because it's just a female kicking ass who happens to be beautiful.
I mean, that's probably a first weekend see for me because I even enjoyed Jolie's two movies. Daniel Craig was in the one.
She was a little over-sexualized.
Of course.
Sure, but it's Angelina Jolie.
Exactly.
Sorry, I thought there was more. Sorry for the awkwardness, everybody. Toy Story 4 brings in Stephanie Falsome to write the script. This will be her first major writing credit. The reason I even bring this up as a story is that's a lot of pressure for your first writing credit.
To me, like, I thought Toy Story 3, like, that was it. Like, I thought that was, like, a perfect bow to put on the...
Well, apparently this is a new direction. They're putting the 4 on it, which makes it almost have to be a part of the rest of them.
Yeah, because, it's a movie that's going to make over $1 billion. I almost feel like it's almost a money grab. Like,
Is it going to make a billion?
Yeah. I bet a dollar.
This one came out 8 years ago.
Made a billion.
Yeah, but it came out 8 years
ago. It's still Toy Story.
Yeah.
Like, even us, we would probably still go see it in
theaters. Does this generation
of kids... As 20-something-year-old men.
Does this generation of kids care about Toy Story?
I think so. As long as their parents brought them up right and showed them Toy Story 1.
I have them right there.
As do I. So, to me, it's... It's animated. Like, any Disney movie makes, like, 700-plus million. And just, you know, Tim Allen and... You know,
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
That was my Rolodex.
I mean, it sucks that, you know, Don Rickles passed, so you won't have him as the voice of the pig, but it should have ended after the third one, but talk about being tongue-tied.
I was not expecting that one at all.
I thought I was having a stroke.
Ladies and gentlemen, you now know we don't edit the show and we do it as live because of that.
You're welcome.
I put this next story in because of you, Sam. I know you said you wanted to see it. Den of Thieves is out with, what's his face, Gerard Butler.
Yeah, and I just know it's the one, whoever plays the leprechaun in Ian McShane's show.
American Gods?
Yep. That's all. It's the only two people I know in the movie. And 50 Cent.
Really? 50 Cent?
I think 50.
My favorite word, cliches. Combined with poor dialogue and badly drawn characters. This is a review sounds like I wrote.
Yeah.
Cliches combined with poor dialogue and badly drawn characters that lack dimension bog down this heist movie, which fails to sustain or generate any real tension. It's way too long and not as clever as it thinks it is. Den of Thieves is a long, good-looking journey with a few points of interest along the way, but the destination is sadly unsatisfying.
4.5 by IGN.
The heist movie Den of Thieves wants to be the heat, but it ends up being lukewarm. 5.0 out of 10. Mediocre.
Yeah, they butchered that one.
Igin.
I mean, it's definitely one I'm not going to see in theaters, but if I catch
you on cable. You said last week you were going to see it
in
theaters.
Well, I changed my mind that quick. It's a new week.
Wait, who had the long night, me or you?
Kind of both, actually, but...
Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle has passed $700 million worldwide. My brother-in-law saw it. He IM'd me the other day at work and said, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I was basically, my only response was, well, anything The Rock touches definitely turns to gold.
See, my dad thought it was stupid as shit, but yeah. I don't think he likes Kevin Hart. And
Stand Kevin Hart. Jack Black's decent.
Yeah, but I mean, I still want to see it. It's Jumanji, but...
I didn't like the first one. The first one's like this cult classic, iconic movie now that we look back on it.
But honestly, if you said Sam, the name scenes of the first one, it's been so long since I've seen it, I don't remember
anything. Robin Williams has a beard.
Okay.
That's one.
I don't even remember
that. He has a beard and he's wearing like tattered clothes. I literally
can't remember the movie.
That's about all I got. I don't know. You know, I wasn't clamoring for a return to the Jumanji universe.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was expecting a Jumanji sequel. But who would have thought it would have made over $700 million?
Well, The Rock did, I guess.
Oh, I guess so.
12 Strong.
Oh, Chris Hemsworth.
Based
on a true story.
Is a fascinating, untold story about real heroes. The ensemble cast feels mostly like a semi-realistic band of brothers, although some are sadly underused and underwritten.
There's always a jab in there.
The no holds barred action sequences heighten the realism all throughout the script, but it was a bit clunky at times. When it works, it's engaging, and there's just enough to keep you entertained, but can't help but feel these heroes deserve something meatier. 12 Strong isn't exactly what some might be hoping for or expecting, but it sits somewhere between not bad and not great. 6.0 out of 10, okay. What that tells me, though, is that the universe could be strong, like Bright.
Yeah.
Bright had decent characters, but a shitty story and universe. This, they're saying the characters deserve better than the story they got. So at least there's hope that this universe could be built upon.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know about this, the true story. I don't think really anyone did.
Difficult to make a sequel, by the way, when it's based off of a true event.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm interested to see kind of what happens and what transpires in these turn of events. So we'll see.
Romanian boxer Florian Montanu has been cast as Ivan Drago's son in Creed 2.
He's a monster.
He is a freaking monster. Go look at this dude. He's cut like a diamond. He's cut like a diamond's diamond, like a diamond who had a kid, grew up to be a bigger diamond.
I almost feel bad for Mr.
Michael
Creed.
B. Jordan, yeah.
To go up against that, like, that's a scary dude.
This is his first acting role, and Sly basically said, this dude has too much talent to pass up.
Yeah.
He's going to be great. So, you know, I thought Creed was the best in that franchise. Maybe Rocky 2, but I think
Me, it's not the best, but it was phenomenal.
I actually kind of want to watch it again.
So I'm interested to see this war that we're going to see, so it should be interesting.
Here's one that's not on your rundown. My boy, one of my favorite Japanese actors, one of the most well-known Japanese actors, Ken Watanabe, has joined Detective Pikachu.
Wow.
Let me read the story. It's pretty cool.
Dude, it's a good cast so far.
Dude, it's a really good cast so far. They're really trying to
What's your favorite
movie.
Ken Watanabe film? Because I have one that always stands out.
Dude, you don't want to know.
I do. That's why I asked it.
It's sad, but it's Godzilla. And that's because he was in it for 5 seconds.
Mine, Last Samurai.
Okay, I like that movie. Yeah, I haven't seen that movie. Probably one of
Tom Cruise's best movies also.
Yeah, I liked him in Godzilla because he had one line. Gojira.
Oh my!
Just like that, though, he just like whispered it over and over again. Just Gojira. So I dig it. Ken Watanabe though does join the Detective Pikachu film. The Hollywood Reporter revealed that Watanabe will star in the Pokemon spinoff, being directed by Goosebumps and Shark Tale alum Rob Letterman. Watanabe's character is Detective Yoshida and will star aside Ryan Reynolds.
That's awesome.
Ryan Reynolds, and that's crazy.
I would have never picked these two in this movie, but okay.
You're happy that it's happening. This is pushing you to see it more.
No,
I know it is.
I have to see what I can't even tell you what a trailer looks like. I don't know what this film looks like.
If it's anything like the game trailer, we're in for a treat.
There's no way Reynolds is going to talk like that.
All right,
no way.
So hold on the podcast, $1. $1 that Ryan Reynolds does that jacked up voice, but he
could because he's talented. He can do that. So I can see him doing it.
$1. It's just $1.
I don't want to bet something that we're going to forget about this
debt. It's a McChicken.
No.
We're going to forget about this
debt. I'm still want to know what you, brother.
Super Troopers 2 hit a trailer.
Oh, tell me, did you watch it?
I did not.
I tagged a few people in the trailer. I know Murph and Nick, they can't wait to watch it. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be as good as the first, but just to see like the whole gang's back together. Everyone from Beer Fest, from Super Troopers, same gang. So, I'll definitely be watching. Our hard R, it is rated.
A hard R, it is rated. Well, yeah. I would assume so if it's anything like the first one.
Oh, yeah.
How long does it make it into the movie before the word snozberries is said?
10 minutes.
I bet. There's a movie coming out on February 23rd to Netflix. It's called Mute.
Never heard of it.
I was going through the stories, and I had never heard of it. I would have assumed you'd never heard of it. Mm-mm. But something caught my eye about it. So I read the story because I'm interested. It's only a month away. So I kind of read it, and here's basically what it is. Warcraft's director, Duncan Jones, mm-hmm. he has a new sci-fi film premiering on Netflix on February 23rd called Mute. The film is set in the near future and stars Alexander Skarsgård as a mute bartender named Leo who goes searching for his missing girlfriend. When she vanishes without a trace, Leo goes looking for her in the seedy underbelly of Berlin. I like Germany's always fascinated me, with the only reoccurring clues being a pair of wisecracking American surgeons played by Paul Rudd and Justin Theroux.
Okay, that's a big name cast. Okay.
So is Bright.
But, you know. Yeah, well, but I don't know. You got three there, but...
Isn't David Ayers, who was a mediocre filmmaker.
Ooh, another jab by Nicky.
Sony Pictures Entertainment might close soon.
Yeah, I read that headline. I was like, wow, that doesn't sound promising.
Yeah, and well, here it is.
Yeah, I know you got the
quotes. NATPE conference, Sony Pictures Entertainment chairman Tony Vinciquerra, I guess, said that if the business does not see growth, it may be put on the market. If we don't grow, we will be somebody's purchase. I didn't take the job to do it in a year and sell the company.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so he's basically has a year to turn it around to get some films made that turn some profit. The first house time is going up.
Sony has made some bad films over the past few years.
Spider-Man didn't help its cause.
And now as we move into the box office for this week or this past weekend, here are the top 10 films for the box office. Number 10, Darkest Hour at $5.4 million. Number 9, Falling 4 Spots, Pitch Perfect 3 at $7.3 million. Number 8, a newcomer to the list, $11 million for Proud Mary. Number 7, falling from number 2 last week, Insidious, The Last Key, $14.3 million. My wife said it was trash. I believe her. Number 6, falling from number 3, Star Wars, The Last Jedi, at $14.6 million. Number 5, new to the list, and I'm hearing a lot of great things, that this is just a fun, wonderful, delightful movie, Paddington 2. A lot of people are saying it's a really nice movie. It's not for me. I'll never see it.
I never saw
it. But apparently, if you have kids, it's really good for them, and it's a really good movie. Number 4, new to the list, The Commuter at $5.7 million.
Oh, Liam Neeson.
Number 3, jumping one spot, my boys, in The Greatest Showman at $16.1 million. I'm really good still excited to see that. Number 2, coming from number 15 last week, The Post at $23 million. Wow. And staying at number 1, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle at $35.1 million. Let's see, 11, Ferdinand, Coco, Molly's Game, I, Tonya, The Shape of Water round out the top 15. So, just to give you a heads up.
I would have never thought Jumanji number 1 still.
It's...
unbelievable.
I'm more surprised that Star Wars had such a big drop off. I know it's been in a month and 5 days now.
A lot of people who I've been talking to about it also agree, like, that Superman scene took him out. They didn't like a lot of things I heard. Like, they didn't like how Luke was portrayed. They didn't think that, like, that was, like, not my Luke Skywalker type of deal.
Sure.
So,
Coming out this week in theaters, the week of January 26th, we have Hostiles. We have Maze Runner, The Death Cure. We have Birds Chirping Like a Sumbitch. And Please Stand By. That's it.
Three films. The Maze Runner, that completes the trilogy of the novels.
Yeah, we have Dakota Fanning in Please Stand By as a drama comedy about a young autistic woman that runs away from her caregiver. And then we have The Maze Runner, which we all know that series.
That was a good one.
And then Hostiles, like you said. That's Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Christian Bale.
It's finally released now. Okay. Because I know it was released in selected cities 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it finally gets the worldwide release. Looks good.
Cool.
Reviews have been good.
Yeah, good for them. Good for, for Hostiles. That'll probably take, Maze Runner probably take.
Yeah, good. I would think just the books are pretty popular.
On to TV. This is going to be a lot of you talking here. Excuse me. Black Lightning premiered. You watched it 3 times.
I did. Well, there was a couple things that me and Toby thought we missed, but we were actually right. The show, it was Rotten Tomatoes gave it 100%. I thought it was phenomenal. Cress, was it Cress Williams?
Well, they didn't give it 100%. People gave it 100% to give it
Cress,
the rating.
Cress Williams plays Jefferson Pierce, a.k.a. Black Lightning, who hasn't been or used his powers in 9 years. You have James Remar, who is his oldest friend slash father figure. I think it's perfect casting. If anyone don't know him, he is the father from Dexter. So I think that was perfect
casting. And he played Raiden in Mortal Kombat.
Lord Raiden to you, sir. I think that was perfect casting for him. The whole cast is good. It kind of touches on a few hot topics that are kind of in the news now today. And then some series of events happen that his daughter's...
I think Daenerys is sending us a raven.
Yeah, there are a lot of ravens outside coughing right now.
Crazy birds. I think there's a message outside waiting
There could be something on the way out. I'll check before I go. But yeah, something happens where his daughter's getting in danger and... He just says, you know, I got to go get my girls back. And he kind
of... That was a shot at me from an inside joke when I was a child.
No, but Greg, he literally says that line. And it's... Dude, he whooped some ass.
I don't know how you didn't text me then as soon as he said that.
Dude, it was...
I may have said that on the playground when I was a kid.
It was really good. Obviously, it comes on every Tuesdays at 9. As of right now...
How long was it? 2 hours?
No, just one
just
hour.
Just one? Okay.
As cool. of now, they said it's not connected to the Arrowverse. But then there was another statement where, like, the president of CW said, if the writers, showrunners feel that they can have a nice story, they can include him in the overall crossover or whatever.
Isn't Black Lightning an older hero?
Oh, yeah. He's retired. Nine years he hasn't been Black Lightning.
So, like, maybe because Flash is younger, Arrow's younger, Supergirl's younger, maybe because he's an older guy, he doesn't join that verse?
Let Black Lightning find its footing.
Sure, and then absolutely.
I consider a second season crossover the first, because the first season only has 13 episodes.
Right.
So this is where it's going to just basically, you know, kind of hopefully set its foot in the ground and plan a good story. But after the first episode, I'm in.
Was Legends of Tomorrow originally in the Arrowverse?
Yeah, well, because it's all the characters are from Arrow, Flash, and, you know.
Okay, because... I mean, I'm sticking with that theory of because he's an older character. I mean, Legends of Tomorrow hints at younger people. There's a story I have in just a little bit that also kind of hints at what do the Ravens want?
I know, they're going crazy.
I just need to know what they want.
If they start, like, hitting the glass window,
What is living under my porch? Are the White Walkers coming? Is that what's about to happen?
Hope not.
Yeah, please come before, just wait till after the Super Bowl, please. Yeah. The Flash midseason premiere happened. It didn't get great reviews. What did you think?
It's different because the way it ended...
There was a big courtroom scene that apparently fell pretty flat.
Well, yeah, the ending of last season, kind of, you know, there's a dead body and Flash could have done something and he just like, no, I'm not going to do it. Like, you didn't do anything. You could have cleaned it up, but now he's doing this trial. He refuses to say something and Iris was going to say something. The best scene in the movie where Iris was about to say something.
TV show.
And, you know... Grant just, like, pops out, flashes over to him, and says, how you doing this? He's just like, I'm moving so fast, blah, blah. Like, that was probably the coolest scene in the whole thing.
Grant Gustin plays the Flash.
Yeah, he's...
I never asked you this. Mm-hmm. Do you prefer Grant Gustin or Ezra Miller?
Well, I would say yes, because I have four years invested in Grant, and, you know, I think he's a great Barry Allen and Flash. I mean, it was an okay episode. I have more... I forget her name, but she was one of like the thinker's like wife. She, I don't know how I felt about her. She kind of like took a turn where I don't want to say because it'll ruin some plot points if you haven't caught up. But I'm interested to see where her story goes. And obviously the thinker is still doing his thing. And I'm interested to see how is the Flash going to get out of this, because right now he's in a jail cell. And as he goes to the jail cell, he sees something written on the wall. It says Henry Allen was here. So they put him in the same cell where his father was. So it was interesting.
The season one finale of The Gifted, you also saw. And that one was 2 hours.
Yeah, that was the 2 hour finale. Again, it's they're building up. Just everyone's coming after him. Basically, the police are basically had him surrounded, and they're trying to escape and not get caught. And near the ending, basically, their team kind of gets split up a little bit. Kind of one, some people I put in quotes, to the dark side or to the other side, and they got to kind of figure out a plan here. But it got signed for season two, and I'm interested to see, you know, where season two takes us. Are we going to see any X-Men characters? Are there going to be mentions? Are they alive? So I'm interested.
The Flash's Kid Flash has joined DC's Legends of Tomorrow as a series regular, a permanent member. Entertainment Weekly reports that Keenan
Lonsdale.
Keenan Lonsdale will reprise his role as Wally West in the show's upcoming Season 3, Episode 11, which comes out February 19th. But then he will become an official member of the team in Episode 13. So he will be joining that cast as a full-time legend.
Just now when Barry's in the courtroom, Wally was away. But if you think your family or, because that's his brother-in-law, don't you think you would have showed up? Like, I don't know, they kind of just left him out.
Yeah.
And now they're kind of throwing him in Legends because you have the two Firestorms, Garber left the show, and the other guy, I forget his name, the other part of Firestorm, he kind of like left the show, so they kind of need a little filler. I know they said John Constantine's going to appear in an episode. Cool. I would love to see him appear as a season regular, but I'll take what I can get from him. But okay, Wally in Legends, okay.
Garth Ennis's comic book, The Hitman, will get a TV series by Jeff. It was teased. Jeff Johns teased that The Hitman might get a TV series. Now, not the video game Hitman. This is Garth Ennis's comic book Hitman, which I know nothing about.
I don't know the comic of Hitman. I just know the game series. I mean, I would rather see the game series, but
The game series got its own movies.
Yeah, we got two movies, which I both like, but we'll see what this Hitman TV series could potentially be.
The Tick has been renewed for season 2 on Prime, which was one of my biggest disappointments.
See, and I saw it got signed for season 2, and I remember it. I was like, damn, Greg was really disappointed in the first season.
Just disappointed was a good word. I just didn't think it. I thought they were trying to be too much at once, and it was all over the place. I didn't find it funny, nor threatening, nor dramatic, nor action-packed.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to see it.
I didn't like Arthur. Did you watch any of it?
No, I didn't see a second of it.
The villain was the only cool part, and there was one part in particular where he comes out of his, I think it's a ship, at an ice cream parlor. That part was really menacing, and he really looked threatening at that point, but everything else fell completely flat. I wanted the funnier, the lighthearted Tick that we got from the animated series in the 90s, but this was just kind of a flat.
He fell flat for you.
Yeah, he kind of needs to be swatted.
Oh.
Or is that
Tick? Flicked or flicked off.
Yeah, I like that one better. The Tick should be flicked, but not into a movie flick, just a flick with your finger. Wow. Yeah, bad. A new drama series is in the works from J.J. Abrams, centering around a scientist's mother who was in a coma after her family was in a car crash. The daughter then messes with her experiments, ends up in a different world, battling against this crazy oppressive force. That's really all we know so far. It doesn't have a name, but J.J. Abrams stamps it with
a producer. That's a lot going on there. I don't know how to feel about it right off the bat.
Well, J.J., how's JJ's reputation with TV?
Well, he did Lost. Yeah, the show that I never watched and refused to watch.
I watched the first episode and was wholly unimpressed.
Yeah, I mean, I trust JJ. He's a talented filmmaker. Mm-hmm. But again, there's a gazillion things on TV. It's is it going to be something that stands out among the rest?
I didn't catch the network. I don't know if they even announced the network yet.
Probably not. It's still in the early stages.
So I don't know if it's going to be a streamed show, which they have a little bit more flexibility because you're not censored in a way.
Yeah,
so
true.
I don't know. Depends on the world it builds. I'm a big
man in the money it has behind it.
Yeah,
I'm
a huge believer in the world that it needs to build for it to be successful. To me, I appreciate like a Bright. I hated the movie, but really want to see more.
Yeah.
I really want to see more. So definitely excited about that. Catch 22, not the ska band.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of.
Me too. But the book is getting an adaptation coming to Hulu with George Clooney as the producer, director, and an actor in it. That's pretty neat.
George, putting his money where his mouth is, I guess.
I like George Clooney.
Yeah, I have no problem with George.
Right.
Love
his work with Stacey Keibler. loved Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
So
I liked him.
I didn't love 12 or 13, but I'm totally down with it.
100%. They wrote for what they were. It's like, ah.
Yeah. This next story is for you, Joe Rio, from Hidden in Plainview, if you're listening. The Handmaid's Tale Season 2 is coming to Hulu on April 25th. He mentioned that he watched it.
Did Ash watch it at all or not?
I don't think so. We don't have Hulu.
I heard good things about the show. It's, just, again, driving the time to watch something else.
The Walking Dead has been renewed for Season 9, with Angela Kang coming in as the new showrunner. So yet another change.
Wait. Pass on your wise words.
Huh?
Pass on.
I sometimes I add a little bit in my rundown for me to remember. And the note that I have next to this story is, good luck.
Okay, I think it's a good idea that they needed to bring something new in, because obviously the viewership has fallen off. They're not getting the 17 million viewers they were getting.
You want to hear my problem with this? It's a smaller problem. Angela Kang is already a writer for the show. So they're not bringing anybody in with a fresh take on the show.
So it's still...
She's currently writing the crap that's getting the drop in ratings. So I don't. That's my only issue. Is it going to continue on that same?
It's going to probably be the same.
It needs to be flipped on its head.
Yeah,
is what it is. What
they need something fresh.
It needs a shot in the arm, and you thought Negi could be that shot in the arm, but apparently after that first episode, the bar was set so high.
People were just so butthurt, and of course, two beloved characters are gone that they've loved, and you know they took away a main character from the first season. They're taking away another one coming back from the beginning of when this starts in February. So then the only original cast you have left from season one, Andrew Lincoln, Norman Reedus, and Carol. That's it. The only main cast
I guess that's season two. She came in. Lauren Cohen, season two.
Because you have the other guy. Who's the guy with the bow staff?
The bow staff?
Yeah, he's got like the stick. He does like the martial arts.
Bro, I haven't watched that in 4 years.
He's going to be, I believe he's, instead of being a regular on Walking Dead, I think he's going to Walking Dead.
Oh, Fear the Walking Dead. Morgan.
Yeah. Morgan, that's it. Morgan.
We reported that like a month ago on the show. Yeah, he's, and we said like, oh, that's your big cameo for the crossover.
Yeah, but there's technically only three left of the main. So we'll see what happens.
You know.
Because even Norman Reedus kind of stated like, they got to be real careful here because they're taking away... You know, members of the show that have been around since it started. Like, you know, you take away a character, you know, it may affect the balance of the show.
Right. Yeah. But it's almost necessary. You got to change it up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
For sure. You know, this show, and along with every show, especially shows as big as this, will have its starch defenders. Like, you have myself, who loved season 7 a game but saw its flaws. You have people that just think it's the greatest thing ever because of the set pieces.
Yeah.
You have Walking Dead folks who are, nope, this is close to the comics. It's great. I love it. It's telling a great story. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you have people like us. I'm just happy that people are finally seeing our side.
Yeah.
Because I've been off this show for 4 years saying it's been degrading.
Yeah.
You've stuck with it, but it has not been your show.
I'm battling.
You're just watching. Yeah. You're just watching at this point. You're not invested in it at all.
I just have all this time. I don't want to throw away 7 years of watching this damn show.
I was totally willing to.
Yeah.
4 years of my life.
You're better than me.
Gone. I guess that's DVR for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's delete. I'm good. I'm totally good. Actually, I got to do it. Delete!
I was late.
You remember The Soup? Joel McHale?
Kind of.
It was like on E, I think. He would run down the news and make fun of it. Kind of like Tosh.0, but
maybe,
for news instead of viral videos.
Yeah, maybe.
You remember that? I think it left E within the last 5 years or so. But Joel McHale is actually getting a reboot. Joel McHale and Netflix are teaming up for a new half-hour topical series that's basically The Soup. It's going to have news stories that he just makes fun of. It's called The Joel McHale Show, and it's actually coming February 18th.
Wow.
So really, it's recent, a month from 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So it's under a month. This is coming out on Netflix, which a lot of people... I've watched a ton of The Soup. When you're sitting around with your girlfriend late at night, they love that show. We watch it. It's totally cool. Boom, boom, boom. I'm sure Ash and I are going to watch this. But yeah, awesome. And Netflix is going to start to produce
half-hour show.
Weekly content. Like,
why not?
Who was it? The girl... The woman,
Chelsea Handler
had a similar show where they didn't just send out a whole season. It was week by week.
Yeah.
So it's cool that Netflix is starting to dabble in that a little bit more. Joel McHale is definitely like a male kind of version of Chelsea Handler in the style of show and the audience that it brings in. So
that's cool.
I have no idea what this is. I just know it started on MTV. The Shannara Chronicles TV series has been canceled.
Yeah, it was actually... It started on MTV for the first season. Has Manu Bennett in it. He was like this magical like sorcerer guy who I thought was pretty cool. I kind of forget the rest of the cast, but the first season was kind of, it reminded me of like a Lord of the Rings mixed with I don't even know maybe a little Harry Potter type of deal. Kind of just like mixed a little two worlds. I watched the whole first season. I kind of liked it, but then the second season went to Spike. I don't even know what channel Spike is on. If it's on demand, maybe I'll go back and at least finish the second season because it kind of left on a nice little cliffhanger. So I kind of want to see it, but I did read also that it's not going to be on Spike anymore, but they do have a chance of shopping it around if they get picked up for season 3 somewhere else.
Well, that's because Spike TV is gone.
There you go.
Spike TV is going away. They are renaming it the Paramount Network. which is always good when you take a five-letter word and make it into the Paramount
network. But Paramount's like a name that's like, I don't know.
Yeah, Paramount Pictures.
Yeah, you know the name at least. But okay, that makes sense why it's not going to be there for season three. Okay.
Yeah, Spike is going the way of ABC Family. Dragon Ball Super may also be going the way of those two things and leaving.
Yeah, I read the way they're planning that they're setting up some other TV show in the time slot, and there was no news or no plans on making new.
Yeah, it's TBA right now.
TV Super. I mean, they're on episode, I think, like 130 something. So, but on English, we're only on episode, I think, 48, 49. Yeah. So we're so far behind. But hopefully, it's not the end of Dragon Ball Super. But we'll see.
Castlevania season 2. Has a release window.
It's coming,
it's coming in the summer, and it's actually going to be double the length. It's getting 8 episodes this time instead of 4.
Because four,
season 1 was great.
4, it was an awesome first season, but I just wanted more. 4 was just like, you just teased me. Yeah. I want more than that. So I'm happy to hear that they're doubling
my up. Trivia question for you originally was going to be, what is the last name of the family, the protagonist family in
Castlevania? If I would have just had to hear the answers, I would have got it.
It was Belmont.
Yeah, as soon as I would have heard that, I would have been, it's Belmont.
On to the gaming news, and it's Sam, like Nintendo tweeted out, well, actually, I don't know if they put it on their Twitter. I know they put it on their Facebook. They might have tweeted it out that they were going to be on this past Thursday, a week after that last Nintendo Direct Mini, that they were going to be announcing a new way to play for kids and kids at heart. And we were wondering what that could be. I thought it was going to be like an Animal Crossing MMO open world online game that goes with their online service.
We could have never guessed this.
No, in a million years, I never would have guessed that this was going to be their announcement. They have announced Nintendo Labo, which is really neat, but it's definitely not for us.
It's not for us. Again, if you have kids, it's perfect for them. But if you're 20-something-year-old males or females, I think it's just not up our alley.
So Nintendo Labo will be releasing on April 20th. And basically what it is you can get one set for $70, which comes with 5 Labo sets, or one set for $80, which is one giant set. It is
cardboard cutouts.
Cardboard. It's cardboard.
And you can color it, put stickers on it.
And they sell that for $10, the pack that you could, with markers and
they're
stickers.
They're sucking all the money out of you guys.
But there is a huge craze in the world right now, in the toy world for kids, for building and construction sets. Legos are at a huge resurgence.
As a kid, I used to love that stuff. I used to like building the paper airplanes and throwing them. I don't know if you remember those.
Absolutely.
They were the best. That the Lego set, just something that you had to build. And
Lincoln Logs were my thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, it's just something that, again, for kids, this is...
Actually, the thing I constructed the most as a kid was those plastic hockey nets, because those things broke all the effing time. Yep. How many times did the post pop out mid-game?
Too many damn times.
I was a pro at that. Just hammering it in on the corners.
And we just... Again, thinking about now, like, we should have just glued it.
Yeah, right.
But
we didn't.
Yeah.
Half the time we put the netting on wrong, so it is what it is. But Nintendo Labo is capitalizing on the market of construction sets and toys. Now you can actually integrate it with your Switch. So it's built for Switch.
It was neat. It was neat.
It's very, very neat. And it's basically... I'm sorry, Santino Morella cracks me up every time. Yeah. Everything that this does is fully functional. It's very weird. So anyway, you get these sets, and you can construct the cardboard. Apparently, they can take upwards of 2 to 4 hours to build, so it definitely gives kids chances and time to do that. You know what the hand, like the controllers are called?
Yeah, the joysticks.
Joy-Con.
Joy-Con.
They're, for this, they're repurposing the name as Toy-Con. It's hilariously entertaining.
Yeah, I saw the one where it's like, I think they put the Joy-Cons on this like little robot thing, and he's kind of just like...
An RC car.
Yeah.
I was like, so you can basically take the cardboard, you build it, you fold it, and you need to do what you do to construct anything from an RC car to... Well, you know what? Without getting... Totally into what that is. Our top three this week is our top three things you can build with Nintendo Labo.
Like so our favorite out of the... I thought it was just some fun and, you know.
There were 6 different things announced. So we'll go into our top three. I would imagine they're the exact same three for both of us. But basically, you build it and construct it, and then you use your Switch to put it somewhere on the thing you build, and it interacts with it and becomes like one with it, and you use the Joy-Con to... put it in there as functioning pieces of it. And the right Joy-Con has an infrared camera in it that helps range of motion and sensing other things. It's really, really freaking technologically awesome that you're making cardboard come to life, which is really cool. But let's get into our top three things you can build with the Nintendo Labo. Yeah.
Number three, I went with the race car. I just thought that was kind of neat. Just kind of your little handlebar. You put your little switch right there, like as your basically your center console. I just thought that was cool.
Yeah, that is neat. My number three is one of the, again, you can sell one for 70, you get 5 pieces. You can buy one for 80, you get 1 piece. That's my number three, is the $80 robot. So you have to construct an entire set of robot armor with a robot backpack, and there are strings and pulley systems inside of this thing, so it's going to take a long time to construct, where you actually put the Joy-Con in the arms and feet of the robot, and you basically put it up on your TV, and it's a world. You can destroy the world like you're a guy, like a kaiju or Godzilla. You can form into like a race car and go around the world. You can basically be a robot, but you look like an idiot. But you can be a robot. I think that's really cool for kids. Cool. My worry about that is if you have a smaller child, maybe the box is too big for the kid and it could be cumbersome. But something really cool that Nintendo that I heard is doing, I haven't read it from Nintendo, but this is cardboard. It's very easily destructible, broken. Yeah. A cat, a dog.
That's kind of the first thing I think. I was like, these aren't going to last that long.
Apparently, you can break it. If you break it, you can send it to Nintendo and they'll send you one out.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
I'm sure there's a limit.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool that there's something like
that. Yeah, that's awesome.
That would be my number three, is that cool robot mechanic.
Yeah, that's not on my list.
Oh, there you go.
Number two, I went with the piano.
Yeah.
As for me, I don't know. I always wanted to play the piano. I just never took the time. Didn't want to, you know, go to Miss Lena. I'm sorry. I didn't want to go. But I just think it'd be cool for just kids to kind of start playing, just playing something rather than just kind of like playing like just like a game, like you're playing music, something that's, you know, could be cool.
It's a 13-key piano. This is my number one, by the way, the piano, obviously, for music, for various reasons. Yeah. But it's a 13-key piano. And the cool part is, you put the right Joy-Con with the camera in the side of the piano, and when you hit a certain key, there's a magnetic – no, I'm sorry, not a magnetic – a reflective piece of either plastic that might have a certain pattern on it, or maybe it senses the depth that translates what key you just pressed, which then the actual sound of that key comes through on your television or Switch. So you can actually play a 13-key cardboard piano with legitimate sounding that I heard you can even tune.
Oh, wow.
So
that's like a perfect introduction into music.
It really is. Now, I don't want the kid bashing on it because he's going to break it. But as like a nice little I'd like to see how sturdy these are.
Yeah.
But that is so cool to me that you can do something like that with this Nintendo Switch. It is. They were right when they said it's a brand new way to play.
Oh, easily. I mean, I think that's, if you're a kid, that's the one you're going to get.
Your number one is going to be my number two.
Yeah. The fishing rod.
The fishing rod is cool.
I just thought it was so cool. It's the mechanics of it. It's the way it looked.
It pulls itself out, and it's got the line on it.
How couldn't it be my number one?
So you build a like basically a base on the floor. You put your Switch in that, and the Switch becomes the pond where you're fishing. It's a cardboard fishing rod that extends out with actual fishing line. You put the Joy-Con in the fishing rod, and when you reel it, the Joy-Con is what tells it that it's reeling and how far you cast the line and what you're pulling up at the speed you're pulling it up.
It's kind of genius.
All right, I think we're buying it.
I will be surprised if you get it.
I can't. I have two cats and nowhere to store them. I just don't. My house is already cluttered.
The cardboard.
It's already cluttered with so much
stuff. Unless
you
put it in your closet.
Have you seen the inside of
that
closet?
You gotta clean it out, bro.
I will clean my closet. Eminem taught me
that. Yeah, I gotcha.
But I
figured that much.
I don't want to, like, I am not the neatest guy in the world.
Yeah, I know.
If I put it in there,
I start every year Alero.
I'm going to break it.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Plus, it's $7 for some cardboard. I'm good.
Yeah.
But that's a really cool idea. Nintendo Labo, like, good on you. These are going to sell like wildfire.
Yeah, for the kids, they're going to see this and want it. I mean, if we were kids, I'm sure we'd want it.
I think, honestly, you're going to get a bigger audience than just kids with this. This is a brand new Nintendo product that, again, they're innovating. But they're changing the way the game is done.
People may be buttered. Like, it's cardboard. I'm not going to wait 2 hours to build it. You know, you never know. You never know.
I don't know, man. I see this selling hotcakes.
I hope it does good.
Like hotcakes and sausage, baby.
Since Switch, Nintendo has been doing nothing wrong, so.
Except for not having a virtual console or the online service or any Netflix or YouTube apps.
Greg's
Nintendo Switch was the top-selling console of December at 1.5 million units in December alone. PS4 was still the highest-selling console for the entire year.
That a boy, baby.
Of 2017. Well, it had freaking 3 months unabated. Well, 2 months. Give me a break. It had January and February.
Haters
competition.
Gonna hate.
Hate. Whatever. We were talking to Dom about that yesterday on the interview. He said he's been wanting to get a PS4 for 3 years. I said, just get a Switch.
Well, I mean, what's the Switch? 300?
Yeah.
And the PS4 is 250, so.
Great. You know. Switch is better. For what he does, maybe, the Switch would be a better idea for him. Netflix is still working on a Nintendo app. I'm sorry, an app on the Nintendo Switch. So there were rumors flying around. They're done. They're not doing it. We're not going to have any plans, da-da-da. But apparently there is still hope for a Netflix app. Here's my thing. It was on the Wii U, which was trash. The Switch is clearly selling like hotcakes. It has a better screen.
It's only a matter of time.
It's got to come. Yeah. You have to develop that app. Yeah. It doesn't have to be perfect. I don't need a full breath, like a full Netflix experience on that. Just give me my cue. I mean,
but then again, suggestions. You don't really need it because you have a PlayStation. You have a smart TV. You have an Xbox.
I do need it, and here's why. I'm up in bed. Ash doesn't like the TV on at night.
Oh, so you watch it from your handheld.
So I'd watch it from my Switch to go to sleep to.
If you had a PS Vita, you'd change it.
Yeah, well, again, Switch is a bigger screen.
Cheap price, yo. Cheap price.
You won't sell it to me.
$500. Two games come with it.
Yeah, what games?
I got Mortal Kombat, and I have the Resistance.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I've never owned a Resistance game. That's one game I've kind of always wanted to own and never have. So that's cool, but no thanks. No, I'm good. I appreciate you, though. Where is this at? Here we go. The NPD was released for December of 2017. Top 10 games for 2017. Again, these are physical copies only. They do not take into account the digital sales. Number 10.
Is it?
Grand Theft Auto
5. Oh, my God.
Grand Theft Auto 5 comes in at number 10. So a lot of folks over the holidays, 6 years after that game released.
That's insane.
Or actually, I think it's only four. 4 years after that game released, they're still getting it in their stockings. Number 9, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Number 8, Assassin's Creed Origins. Number 7, Players Unknown's Battlegrounds for the Xbox One. Number 6, Madden 18. Number 5, Mario Kart 8, which is cool.
That's awesome.
Number 4, NBA 2K18. Number 3, Super Mario Odyssey. Number 2, Star Wars Battlefront 2, and number 1, Call of Duty World War II. Awesome. So
only two sports games, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Only two sports games.
FIFA, because FIFA's usually the big one.
Right. FIFA's comes out like earlier in the year than those other guys. NHL kind of fades after it comes out. WWE isn't on there because apparently this year's version was trash, but hey, listen, if Madden came out and all the players' helmets were backwards and it was a Chinese football league, they would still buy it.
Yeah, in droves. It's Madden.
So, you know, there's that. But Call of Duty World War II was also the top-selling game for 2017 as a whole, and it came out in November. So it's good for Call of Duty
to get back to their roots. Because the last game didn't do too good.
The last couple. Pokemon is giving away free legendaries in both in Sun, Moon, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, every month this year. They've done something similar in years past. This year, they're adding something to the trading card game where they're doing something, I think, like legendaries are going to get featured in certain packs. I'm not too sure. I don't play the card game anymore. I haven't played it
since the original Charizard in
quite a while. But I do have each Pokemon that will be available for free each month in 2018. Well, until 2 days ago, you could have gotten a free Master Ball. But anyway,
awesome.
For the entire year of 2018, up until September 21st, you can get a free Celebi. In Sun and Moon, you can get a free Magearna, who is a brand new mythical. Well, I guess legendary because it's on the list. I thought it was mythical, but that's just something you get for free in the game. Starting February 2nd to the 28th, you get Dialga or Palkia, which were in Gen 4, Diamond and Pearl. March 2018, you get Regigigas or Heatran, which is cool. April, you get Raikou or Entei. May, you get Xerneas or Yveltal, which were X and Y. June, you get Zygarde. July, you can get Tornadus or Thundurus. August, you can get Groudon or Kyogre. September, Latios or Latias. October, Reshiram or Zekrom. And November, Ho-Oh or Lugia.
The only That's one, pretty cool.
Yeah, sure, I have them all. I just want Mew. Yeah. I still don't have a Mew. I just wanted Mew. I mean, I missed that train. They gave one away 2 years ago for free, and I missed it.
I was going to say, it's only a matter of time that they release Mew or some kind of special event to get him in a certain area or something.
I just wish you could just catch it. I don't want it for free.
I know.
I want to do something.
You want to work for it. I got
it. I want to work for my... Good call out. I want to work for my damn legendaries, baby. Pokemon Go got an update. It's a small one, but I still want to read it to you.
Anyone who lost their shit, you're beat.
They resolved a bug that caused Sam's game to come back in full.
Yeah, I know, right? Wouldn't that be awesome?
That caused Pokemon Collection screen to scroll to the top after evolving, transferring, or renaming a Pokemon, which was just, I guess, annoying. It added the ability to sort the Pokedex by region. That's actually pretty cool. The improved the incubator sorting order when selecting an incubator. It improved the way Pokemon scale throughout the app, which was that AR plus where its actual size, and various bug fixes and performance updates. So just if you still play that game.
If you're still out there, guys.
I do it maybe once every couple days. I throw it on for a minute, catch something, and get out. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I have zero urge.
I gave up a long, long time ago.
But that was a forced...
It was.
The forced exit from the world.
Out of my hands.
Do you think you'd still play it if you had it?
I don't know. He doesn't want to think about it. I forget my lineup. I kind of blocked that out of my memory all that time wasted.
Warner Brothers announces a new Scribblenauts game for the Switch, which is Scribblenauts Showdown. Do you know what Scribblenauts is?
I do not.
It's pretty neat. It's a game where you're a character, and this is a premise. It's not perfect, but there's a bunch of games in the series. You basically go around, and it's an adventure or platformer game where if you type in a word, that comes to life in the game. If you need a bridge to cross something, you write bridge or draw a bridge, and it comes into the game.
I'm trying to think. This was a game before, right? Was this a game?
It's an existing franchise.
Okay, yeah,
for sure.
Okay,
yeah, there's
familiar.
A couple games in the series. It's pretty neat. What they're doing now on Switch is called Scribblenauts Showdown, where two people face off, two characters, either me versus you or me versus the computer, whatever.
Is it online?
I'm sorry?
Online?
I believe so. Okay. I'm not 100% sure. And from what I remember, it was a 30-second trailer I only watched once. But from what I remember, it gives you it's basically 3, 2, 1, go. It gives you an item, and the first one to draw it wins.
Oh, that's cool. Something okay, like that. That's neat.
So it's pretty cool. It's like a showdown mini game. I hope it's not a full $60 experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was my next thing. As long as it's not 60, right?
It's just not going to move if it does that. The CEO of Activision, Eric Hirschberg, is stepping down on 3/31. I literally have nothing to say about that.
It just doesn't bother you?
I don't care. Just for anybody out there that does, Eric Hirschberg is stepping down. I mean, best of luck. Yeah, well wishes for the future. Yeah. I don't know why. Activision is not a company I actively really necessarily drive for.
Yeah.
So good for them. Overwatch League, that's hence where my question came from, in its first week has garnered already over 10 million viewers.
It's a juggernaut.
People.
Well, hey our boy Pino is always playing.
He has a freaking jersey.
Oh,
he has
some people,
a fusion jersey, brah.
Dude, some people are in it like that, you know?
So here's a funny story.
I know, Machi and Alex, I used to play all crazy.
I played it too. I can't get into the esports like that.
Never played it.
I could do speedrunning. I just can't do I can't do competitive.
Well, can you do speedrunning?
I still do speedrun, you dick. anyway, I was at work last Friday, and a person at work who I never in a million years would have thought
played
would have talked to, no would have talked to anybody about video games said, "Do you guys know about Overwatch League?" And I said to her, "What? You know about Overwatch League?" "Yeah, my husband was watching the Philly Fusion beat Dallas last night in their first ever game." And I was like, "Well, the Flyers played." I watched
I have other priorities.
I have never watched a second of Overwatch League. I love Overwatch. I think it's fantastic. I enjoy the game. I like playing it. But to me, I do not like watching esports, especially a competitive shooter. It does nothing for me. Zero. I'd rather watch the speedrunning aspect of video games. I don't like casual playthroughs. I don't really watch Let's Plays or anything like that. I'd rather just play the damn game.
Yeah.
But Overwatch League, doing very good. Apparently, the Philly Fusion are 2-2, if you must know. They're in like 5th or 6th place.
That's solid.
Yeah. So if you're a fan of Overwatch League, that's cool. Hey, if you bought a jersey to support, that's really cool too. I will never. I don't need a jersey.
I'll support it and say, "Great, you know, good job, you know." But you know,
well, Sam, if you support it, put your money where your mouth is. We Happy Few has been delayed to the summer. That's a game I was really looking forward to. A Bioshocky, Gone Homey, Adventures of Edith Finchy kind of not walking simulator, but like this world builder. That was going to be really creepy. Really looking forward to that. It's been delayed to the summer. Okay. NBA Jam, there could be a remake in the works at Microsoft for its 25th anniversary, according to Tim Kritzrow, who was, by the way, boom shakalaka, the iconic voice of that
game. Now, that's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, we just got NBA Playgrounds not too long ago.
And you liked it.
Yeah, but that's like the same thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Too soon?
It's not even too soon. It's just like now you have two like simulated NBA games out there in the wild. Obviously, Jam is the more well known and would sell much better. But like, you have two. Where's the blitz? Where's the hits for NHL? Where's like, I want those games back.
Yeah.
Give me a crazy NHL sim 3-on-3. Give me NFL blitz again, where I could do
that. Would be awesome.
You know, and I know they can't do it with licensing now and get the actual players. But if you gave me some wacky football game that played really tight and was even made up with names and teams and stuff, I'd consider it. I'd consider it. I don't know if I would do it, but I consider it. God of War gets a collector's edition. I don't have all the things it comes with, but I took a picture of what the collector's edition was.
Yeah, I did see the statue.
Yeah, I wanted to show you. There's the box, the statue, a bunch of different figurines, the book. So this is more for you, but
I got more out of the statue game as I kind of the year went on. Right. Focused more on comics and everything, but it still looks awesome. If you're definitely a statue collector, I think it's at least worth checking out.
Now, I don't know what it's going for. I'd imagine like 120,
yeah, 150. Around there.
Are you going to get the $60 game, or are you going to get the collector's
edition? No, I'm going to get the $60 game. Unless there's another like deluxe 80 or like bonus content or, you know,
season pass included.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Lego Incredibles apparently is going to be a game reportedly in development.
Hey, for the kids, man. For the kids.
Sure, whatever. A new Alien game is in development from I think it's like Fox Gaming or something like that. It was a studio that was released or announced last year. This is their first game. Last few Alien games, the last one was creepy, had a good first half, maybe went a little long, and before that, Colonial Marines was trash. Reportedly, Microsoft is working on a new updated Elite controller. I am not in the game of buying a controller for $120 to $150.
But the Elite controllers are cool. Badass.
And they're doing an updated one, so I'm excited to see what it looks like. That's just not something I'll be purchasing. Playground Games is reportedly working on a new Fable game, Fable being a staple
big of
the Xbox franchise, so that could help Xbox get its mojo back. South Park, The Fractured Butthole may be coming to Switch. We see this stuff all the time, and it turns out not to be true.
What do you think the chances are?
An Australian retailer, I forget who it was, Zippy's or something, put it on their website for $60, Fractured Butthole, Nintendo Switch, and then took it down. So I don't know if it was a troll. I don't know if it was a mistake. I don't know if it was a placeholder. I don't know whatever happened. But this stuff happens like all the time, and I don't know if I, number one, believe it, but if it does, because I mean, I have it here for PS4.
Yeah.
I would probably rather play it for Switch.
That's the Steelbook. You did get it. Nice.
Yeah, it is the Steelbook. I mean, that's Alan Santos's.
Ah.
So I've been hoarding it for like 3 months now.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Poor Alan.
I have not put it in my PlayStation. Well, that's also because I haven't popped on my PlayStation until now, because for some reason, that Blu-ray I bought does not play in my Xbox, but it plays perfectly in my PlayStation. So I just unplugged the Xbox and went right to the PS4.
Just a better system overall.
Streaming apps
are
better.
He wakes up in the morning, it pisses excellent.
Streaming apps are better on the Xbox, but definitely, definitely for the Blu-rays.
Thank you.
PlayStation takes it. PUBG, so PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, banned 100,000 players in one foul swoop the other day.
Why?
Cheating.
So good for them, then. Good for them.
Exactly. I'm very excited that they...
Like, for life or like a month or something?
No, they're gone. They gone.
They go.
PUBG team said, "We recently discovered a new pattern of cheats in action. This week, we performed a thorough gameplay data review of 10 million players and completed an analysis of tens of millions of data logs. Through this exercise, we were able to identify over 100,000 instances of the new pattern related to the use of the cheat. And now we have confirmed that it is clearly an attempt of compromising our games. These players will be permanently banned."
Wow. Good for them.
But you know where these players are going to go is Fortnite, which is a game that came out recently that they have a new mode.
But still, they can't play the same game that they've been cheating for God knows how long.
Well, that means you're not as good as everybody else. You cheaters. Get good or get got.
Butt hurt.
There's a book coming out called Come On, Nintendo. Give us Mother 3.
It's something you've been raving for, right?
I've been craving for Mother 3 forever. It's never been released in America. And there's like a hugely large history of how and when and why this game has never come to the West. And it's frustrating to say the least. But Earthbound fans are now working on this new book, basically chronicling the the Western market's anticipation of release of Mother 3. It'll be titled again, Come On Nintendo, Give Us Mother 3. This book is coming to Fangamer, which is a cool site, in late 2018. It chronicles the years of waiting for the follow-up to the beloved quirky RPG. Let's see. Today, asking Nintendo to translate Mother 3 has become a huge running joke. It's even been featured on national television and parodied by top Nintendo executives, the book description reads. But how did hope for a simple game translation blow up into something so big? Rumors, hype, letdown, lies. This is the story of the most wanted game translation ever. I will be purchasing that immediately as it's available for pre-order.
Now, I think after this comes out, I think your chances of getting a Mother 3 are pretty good now.
I don't know.
And depending on sales out there, you watch.
I don't know, man. Nintendo's been trolling us for Come 9 years.
Come on, Nintendo, listen to the podcast. Greg's been wanting it.
9 years. This is, like, insane. We're still in, like, a blah time for games coming out. There's not really a lot coming out. Nintendo Switch had 19 games, like they do every freaking week, come this week. So there's not really anything that that's coming
out.
That's
jumping out of
you. Yeah, I'm trying to find it. My phone is being a piece of junk, so it's telling me to sign in again, and I'm just not going through all that. So, hey, listen, check other places if you want to see what's coming out in the gaming space this week. But last night, a big reason why I was so tired and home so late was I got to see a very, very awesome show, Say Anything. Fantastic show. They're doing a two-night show of playing their three biggest records.
Yep.
Is a Real Boy, In Defense of the Genre, and their self-titled Say Anything record. Night one is going to be Is a Real Boy and the first disc of In Defense of the Genre. Second night will be the second disc of In Defense and the self-titled, all in their entirety from front to back in order. I chose with Ryan to see the Is a Real Boy in the front half of In Defense.
If it was me, I would have chose today, the Saturday show, but
they are both sold out, which was really cool. It was at the Troc in Philly. Fantastic show. Two iconic records at one time. They went on from 8:40 to almost 11. I think 10:55.
Yeah, I think you played 26
or 27 songs. And I love the first half of In Defense. That was the thing that put me over the edge, was the first half of In Defense of the Genre is so much better than the second half. And they just absolutely effing crushed it. So good for saying anything. And Max said that he'll be back in the summer because they finished recording their new album. And the new album was recorded in Conshohocken.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. He was like, I love Philly. Philly's awesome.
Oh,
I
just recorded, little shout out.
I just recorded my new record here. So I don't know where in Conshohocken he recorded it, but really cool that Say Anything's new record was recorded 15 minutes from where we sit, maybe 25 minutes.
That's awesome.
From where we sit. So good for Say Anything. I'm excited for their new record and the upcoming tour as well. Jukebox the Ghost has announced as of 2 days ago that they were coming out with a single, but as of Friday, yesterday, that their new record, Off to the Races, is available now for pre-order. Check their Instagram, which is at Jukebox the Ghost, for a link to pre-order it. Your boy already pre-ordered that thing. So
no surprise there.
And a record came out yesterday that I purchased. Fall Out Boy's new record, Mania, came out, and I hated it upon first, previews.
Okay.
Hated it. At least the first couple tracks, and then it started to get its hooks in me. And I liked the previews just enough to buy it, and I'm kind of glad I did now that I've listened to it in full this morning, all 10 tracks. I like it. It's definitely different.
Yeah.
A million percent different.
It's funny because I've been, actually driving over here, had my whole entire music library, over 8,000 songs on shuffle, and the two songs from Take This to Your Grave came on. I was like, holy shit. Like, brought me right back to, seventh, eighth grade?
2002.
So, it was cool.
And every Fall Out Boy has progressed, every record
sounds
has progressively
different.
Gotten different and mature, if you want to call it. That's the word. But this is a completely tonal shift for them, even from American Psycho, even from American Beauty, American Psycho. Even before that was that Folie à Deux. Or a Dua, whatever. Every record. This is the most electronic, poppy record that they have, and a lot of songs have different tones. But there's one line that got me super emo'd again, like super 2002 Greg long hair, pink braces. Was I'd stop wearing black if they made a darker color. I love that line. It was super
cool. Of course you would.
So I think that's like the reason I hit buy was just to hear that song over and over and over again. But check out Fall Out Boy's Mania. It's good. It's good. It's not anything special.
That's good to hear that. You never want to hear a new album with shit. So
it's good enough to buy. Our last story is a WWE story. Bill Goldberg headed to the Hall of Fame for 2018.
About damn time.
Yeah, well.
It's a long time coming, I think, no?
Yeah, I mean, he also just wrestled last year.
But still, though, I mean, all them spears, them jackhammers, this is well-deserved.
All those 30-second squash matches for the last 25 years. But congratulations to Bill Goldberg for heading into the Hall of Fame. Sam, it's time for our Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week, no surprise, for at least for you to me. Black Lightning, new CW show, only one episode aired so far. I think it's definitely worth your watch. It's definitely totally different from Flash and Arrow and Legends. It's not like that, like, witty comedy or, like, you know, the little banter. Like, this is, like, kind of more of a serious tone. I really liked it. I think it's definitely worth a watch. Check it Tuesdays 9 on the CW.
My pick of the week is Friday Night Lights, and no, not the movie, the TV show. I decided to buy the entire series without seeing
one episode.
without seeing 1 second of one episode. I didn't want any spoilers, but I heard really good things, and it was a show I knew I would want to watch, and it has not let me down so far. I'm 3/4 of the way through season one. I could not recommend it enough. I am putting myself in 2006 when that first season happened, probably even filmed in 05, so it's definitely aged a little bit, but I'm really, really loving almost every single aspect of that show.
That's good to hear, because the show had a lot of hype around it, so it's good to hear that you're liking it.
And that was episode 74 of We Podcast and We Know Things. Again, check out the Dom Maggi bonus episode dropping on Monday the 22nd. Again, episode 75 will be next week. We'll have our Royal Rumble preview, our NXT TakeOver Philadelphia preview. I'll be at both events. Looking really forward to that. In just 13 days, we have our interview with Ace Enders, Nick Bruzzese, and Dom Maggi at the Lumberyard in Hammonton, New Jersey. We are more excited for that than one could ever imagine. We're really, really looking forward to that. And finally, go Eagles.
You know it, baby.
Was that your outro?
It was.
I stole Sam's outro.
That's fine. So I got nothing now.
No. We have to have something.
No, I got nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week on episode 75.
See you later, baby.